time to play the game. Time to play the game!
Welcome to First Bite, the Pride of Detroit preview podcast for your week. It is now week 15 in the NFL. The regular season's almost coming to a close. Around December, I think Lions fans, they're usually prepped up to start thinking about the draft. I've seen that coming around, but Ryan Matthews, Jeremy Reisman here. We're not thinking about the draft. We're thinking playoffs. And we're thinking about the New York Football Giants.
No disrespect.
A little disrespect. Maybe. My feelings about New York have not gone on the record on this podcast, but we will get to that later. Instead, we have to introduce our guest from Big Blue View, the SB Nation site for all things New York Giants, Chris Flume.
Flum
is here with us. No, oh, God damn it. I did it again. It's always like that. Chris Flum. I think Flume sounds cooler. Flum is with us. So we have kind of the situation we had with the Jacksonville First Bite, where there's like two of us now. There was like two Ryans when we had Ryan Day on. Now we have two Chrises here. Thankfully, you know, like, I'm probably not going to be referred to that much. So if you hear Chris being called out, you know who it is. We don't have to do a Rock God scenario. Yep. I'm not cool enough to have a nickname like I gave to Ryan.
You don't like adequate host?
Adequate host?
Chris, you're an adequate host.
Yeah, just adequate.
Anyways.
Yes. So first starting out, though, actually, since we have Mr. Flum here, let's talk about this scandal that is or isn't about the Giants. Walkie-talkie issue?
Yeah, that just came across today.
Yes.
Apparently, the Cowboys have complained to the NFL league office that Ben McAdoo was using a walkie-talkie to communicate the plays into Eli Manning when his microphone failed. And I guess that is against the rules. I guess because they can't shut it off 15 seconds before the play clock runs out.
So is there any chance the entire team is going to be suspended this week?
Probably not.
Okay.
Just well, then what's the point of talking about this then?
We'll settle.
Honestly.
We'll settle for OBJ. He can sit out. That seems fair.
Or Eli. So I floated this in our other five questions. Is Eli, can you say right now, is there a reason for Eli's face looking so stupid?
It's Eli.
Okay, I like it. I like that. No, that's good.
And I think he's cultivated that to deal with the New York media.
Because that makes a lot of sense.
It's a defense mechanism.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. He was never going to be as handsome as Derek Jeter. So,
sure.
Just permanent derp face.
Do you think that might be the reason why all these Jets quarterbacks have failed? They never developed the Eli Manning face.
Yeah.
They never cultivated their own derp face just to just protect them from the New York Post.
Exactly. You know, you have Mark Sanchez modeling in the stands, Tim Tebow running with his shirt off in the sprinklers. They're just too good looking.
This is a great theory.
Exactly. This is a wonderful theory. I'm glad that we're finally digging into this, is the New York defense mechanism.
Yeah. They get rabid down there.
So I think off the bat, just talking about this game, these are kind of two mirror images of each other in various ways, in the sense that both are 9-4, both have gone on... long have had three consecutive losses close to the start of the year, and then gone on to win a long succession of games, nearly unbroken, except for about, like, one?
Yep.
And
on our side, anyway.
Yeah, no, for us too. And most of these games have been decided by one score or less.
Yep.
So I think Lions fans know how the Lions have been doing it. How have the Giants been doing it?
Defense. You know, we're probably going to get into this later. Your guys' offense against the Giants' defense in the fourth quarter, but that's how the Giants have done it. The offense has shown up just enough to give them a lead, and then the defense just shuts the other team's offense down. Since week 7, the Giants have had the best defense in the NFL, and that's what it's been.
So is that particularly apparent in like potential game-winning drives? Because obviously the Lions themselves have kind of become notorious for those fourth quarter game-winning drives. Is that something that the Giants have been particularly good at stopping?
Yes, that I think in 7 or 8 of the Giants' 9 wins, they have shut down a game-winning drive.
They haven't played Matthew Stafford yet.
No. No, they haven't.
I kid.
I said that was
my own defense mechanism, because I'm now terrified of the Giants now after what you just said.
But it is still one that was won, so...
Yes. The Giants don't win pretty.
No.
They just don't.
Neither do the Lions, so... This is going to be another game, ugly for all involved, and unfortunately, since I'm going to start on... Real quick on the Lions side of injuries, it's the general list. It's a bunch of guys who've been limited all week. It's what we fear, but the one you fear, and I think you, Jeremy, Ryan, you saw this on the Bears game, not having Travis Swanson is really bad because it moves over Graham Glasgow and it just cripples the entire offensive line depth. And Travis Swanson, as of Thursday, has still not cleared concussion protocol.
Yeah, it's definitely a major concern. I don't think the offensive line looked great against the Bears. It did look better than I thought, and they managed to somehow get a run game going in the second half there. But, you know, I think all Lions fans would rather have Swanson in there, and probably more importantly, would rather have Glasgow at left guard rather than Lincoln Tomlinson.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's the most critical point of it, is that you would much rather have Graham Glasgow on that line instead of, you know, Lakin Tomlinson, anybody but Lakin Tomlinson. That's kind of like what the Lions are staring down as their biggest loss. And, you know, I don't feel uncomfortable, or I am not afraid to admit that, even though that it looks like Theo Riddick potentially will be out for this game too. So I think the Lions can make do without Theo Riddick. Without Travis Swanson, you're really putting yourself behind the eight ball, I think.
Well, just real quick, just as a note before we get to the Giants side of things, too, I just wanted to look up the weather forecast here.
If you'd like, I can give it. I just saw it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Why don't you give us the weather forecast for East Rutherford on Sunday?
The latest I have seen was about 50 degrees with at least a chance of rain. I know... Where I am, it's about a 70% chance of rain, which is wonderful.
59 sounds like heavenly to what I am living through right now as far as temperature. But I'm seeing 100% precipitation. It is going to be raining. It's going to be ugly, which, again, for a Lions attack that relies on the air, probably not going to look good. But granted, from what I understand about the Giants offense, Chris, it's also fairly aerial based, because they're actually averaging fewer yards per attempt on the ground than the Lions are.
Yeah. The Giants running attack is pretty futile. It's a little misleading because they've been missing their best offensive lineman, Justin Pugh, to a sprained knee he suffered a few weeks ago against the Eagles. But they might be getting him back this week. Not too sure on that. We'll know more when we get to the weekend. But the Giants offense, pretty much, if they're going to move the ball, is going to be through the air.
Well, that kind of takes us over to the injury report. Justin Pugh was someone who was limited this week. I did want to talk about, and as you say, that seems to be trending up, in your opinion.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said Justin Pugh is apparently trending up towards yes. healthiness.
Yes. He's the biggest one because they're just not going to get Jason Pierre-Paul back. Probably not unless they make a pretty good run into the playoffs. It's too bad. But Justin Pugh, perhaps. Owe Digizua. I won't even try to make you hear his entire first name. But he also has a sprained knee. Thought he might be able to go against the Cowboys. They decided to hold him out for another week to just so they don't have any setbacks.
Right. Odigizua is on the defensive side, as was Jason Pierre-Paul. Yes. Jason Pierre-Paul, of course, completely out. Other big ones I'm noticing right here, Shane Vereen limited with a concussion, but if he's limited, it means he's probably farther along enough in the concussion protocol. But, I mean, obviously these things kind of go up and down, but, I mean, he'd be running back too, I imagine.
Yes and no. He would probably be the, because he's coming back off of a torn triceps. He suffered in week two. So the running back two is actually Paul Perkins. Vereen would probably be the third down back. Bring him in on third downs or maybe in the 2-minute drill.
And the other one who's been missing from practice week for the Giants, they'll have to shed some light on him, Keenan Robinson. He's a linebacker, but is he one of the starting linebackers? How big of a thing is he for the defense?
If he can't play, that's a pretty big loss. He isn't technically a starter, but he does play starters reps. He's the Giants' best coverage linebacker, and he usually plays somewhere around 2/3 of the snaps. He's usually on whenever they're in the nickel set.
So I kind of want to go back to Jason Pierre-Paul, because obviously his loss was big for the Giants. And I think the defensive line of the Giants versus offensive line might be one of the key matchups that we'll talk about a little bit later. But who's been taking his place, and have you seen a noticeable dip in production from that defensive line?
Well, it's just been one game, but his spot was taken by an undrafted rookie free agent out of Notre Dame by the name of Romeo Okwara. And surprisingly, there was not much of a dip. He had 8 tackles, a few quarterback hits, and his first sack in his first career start, and he played about 60 snaps. He lined up almost exclusively on the left side of the defensive line, a few snaps on the inside. So he was working against Doug Free, the Cowboys' right tackle, and although he got his first sack against a 6th lineman they brought in. He's not JPP, but he surprised the coaches.
Yeah, I mean, against the Dallas front five, that's pretty impressive for a debut.
Is there any other big stories here I'm missing? I'm trying to think, going through it, other than just updating you furiously on whether or not a picture taken at practice shows Matthew Stafford is or is not 100%. I'm still worried about that finger a lot, but
I was going to say that that's probably potentially the biggest injury that we have not talked about, the starting quarterback for the Detroit Lions and his the middle finger of his throwing hand being in a brace.
On a rainy night.
It's probably worth mentioning, too, that he was reportedly not as good at practice today on Thursday. They did a couple of those wet ball drills, and the beat reporters are saying he didn't respond that well to it. It's just one day of practice, so I wouldn't overreact to it, but obviously it's something that we're all going to be watching during the game, and it's obviously something that we're really not going to know about until we see him perform.
Hey, Jeremy, did Matthew Stafford look like he was uncomfortable with the glove on? Was he constantly adjusting it?
It's weird. It's like he wasn't wearing it the entire season, so he's still kind of getting used to it.
I thought they did a skin graft. I thought they did a skin graft to fix his the ligaments and the other things wrong with his fingers.
Just chop off the hand and replace with a cyborg arm.
Oh. I'm down with it.
Yeah, why not? Mutant League Football. All right, let's take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to be talking, of course, about, like, matchups, doing kind of unit to unit and everything else, and kind of things we think we know. You know the gist if you've been listening to First Bite. If you're new, stick around and we get into the nitty-gritty of this game. Continuing on here on First Bite Podcast, again, if you're new to this, I'll download us on iTunes, look for Pride of Detroit, get this, get POD Cast, everything you need, get us all when we're in good moods. There was one bit of extra news I forgot from the Lions side of things. Adarius Barnes was waived on Thursday. Cornerback Adarius Barnes, he was waived for, let me make sure I get this name right, Jeremy. Corey Lemonnier.
I believe that's correct, yeah.
He is a former Browns linebacker, and as far as I can tell, he is being picked up because he had a sack on Eli Manning.
Yeah, well, he played as a 3-4 outside linebacker. He'll probably play defensive end. A lot of people are already drawing comparisons to Armonte Bryant, who we lost to IR a couple weeks ago. Obviously came from the Browns as well. It'll be interesting to see... I don't think he plays at all this week, but it'll be interesting to see if he can give a little bit of an extra edge to the pass rush that's been severely lacking. But to me, the bigger news is who we released to get him.
Yeah, I said Adarius Barnes, yeah.
Did you? Okay.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
Christ,
so,
I'm not that forgettable.
Adarius Barnes, he had just basically been promoted to starting nickel corner. Once Quandre Diggs went out for the season. So now the question becomes, what are they going to do there? And obviously they have some sort of plan because Adarius Barnes played, 40% of the snaps last week. That's not a small, insignificant role. So the question becomes, is it Asa Jackson who they picked up a week ago? Or do they go heavy on the four safety looks? What do you guys think?
You'd like to hope that maybe it's a situation where you get some more three safety looks with Bush and Davon Wilson and Killebrew, but or Glover Quinn, excuse me. But I don't know. I didn't see a whole lot from Asa Jackson that sold me on the fact that all of a sudden you can plug him in and play him as the nickel corner. I think that's one of the most difficult positions to play in football, and I think that they... I think that's a tough thing to do, but hey, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonier. So
yes,
look, oh. I didn't want to say that. That was Chris. He made me do it.
Not this Chris.
Yes, fair distinction.
The evil Chris.
Well, let me turn this to non-evil Chris. Now nickel corner is a worry of mine. Do the Giants have someone in the slot that they need to worry about? I know Odell sometimes plays it there. Is he there a lot, or is there kind of a better slot guy?
Well, Odell's the best wherever he lines up. That's yeah. Just. But he's playing there more lately than he did at the start of the year. The start of the year he was outside. They just left him there. Now they're moving him around, but. The Giants slot receiver, rookie Sterling Shepard, he has been playing really well. His stats aren't what we thought they might be, but that's because the offense isn't what we thought it might be. But he's a really precise route runner. He's got good hands. And he's that rare kind of rookie. He doesn't make the same mistake twice. His father played for the Cowboys, but then died when he was very young. And he's kind of come up almost as a professional.
Okay, so, I think that the game plan, going into this one, it seems as though Darius Slay is going to follow, OBJ around on the field wherever he goes, whether he lines up outside or in the slot. You mentioned OBJ, you mentioned Sterling Shepard. Do they really have any depth beyond that? Because I know a lot of people are kind of disappointed in Sterling Shepard, but I think that's really like a fantasy perspective, just because he hasn't had the, he hasn't put up the numbers that people were expecting him to, but do the Giants have anybody, beyond that?
Yeah. At wide receiver, they still have Victor Cruz. He isn't the Cruz we all remember, but having a torn patellar tendon, have your kneecap somewhere up in your thigh, that'll do that. And so he isn't what we remember, but Eli still has good chemistry with him. He's missed a little bit the last couple weeks, but you never know when those two are going to hook up. Also have Dwayne Harris. He's more of a special teams specialist, but he's a tough physical receiver, and he can catch the ball when you throw it to him. The Giants don't have much at tight end. They've got two young guys in Will Ty, who was a second-year player out of SUNY Stony Brook, a well-known football factory, and Gerald Adams, a rookie out of South Carolina. They're both athletic, but they don't give the Giants a whole lot of production. Usually good for about 4 to 6 catches a game.
Did I miss something? Is Larry Donnell, is he done for the season?
He just hasn't been playing lately.
Okay.
The one snap he got in the last few weeks was the Lawrence Timmons interception with the Steelers.
Okay.
They gave him one snap in the red zone and it turned into an interception. So
all right.
That was over.
Okay. The Larry Donnell experiment is over.
Looks
well,
like
that,
it.
That definitely is music to Lions fans' ears, because tight ends have been tearing this defense apart week after week after week. So do they have, are any of their backs kind of a pass catching threat either?
Well, depending on Shane Vereen is easily their best pass catching back. It depends on how he is in the concussion protocol. Those things take their own time.
Right.
Another rookie, Paul Perkins. He's a similar kind of back. He's really shifty. He's got good hands. He can catch and run with it, and he can make some ankle breaking cuts behind the line of scrimmage. So there's that. And Rashad Jennings is unspectacular, but solid in just about everything.
I would also point out, while we're still on the topic of the Giants offense, 13 interceptions so far from Eli Manning. So,
yes,
I know he's kind of in the highlights, but Eli is, of course, always going to have some Eli to him. So I think that's kind of in the cards. Let's move it to the other side of the ball here. Matt Stafford, obviously, like, I think if anything, we saw Jeremy, like, what the Bears did well in that game was just the pressure up front against Matt Stafford. So, tell the people at home what happens when Travis Swanson isn't here. And do you think that really made a case, or is this just kind of like the Bears front being probably better than we thought, or just generally from what I seem, the Bears overall seem to always have a Lions number quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't really know what it was, because when I went back and watched that game, the protection wasn't good. I'm not going to say that it was, but the Lions offense managed to move the ball pretty well the entire game. They just kind of didn't turn it into points early. You know, they had one fluky interception and then the pick six. But I wouldn't really put it on any of the interior line. I thought the tackles kind of had a poor game. I thought Riley Reiff hasn't looked very good in the past few weeks, and I think Taylor Decker had probably one of his down games. So I don't know if I would really chalk it up to missing Travis Swanson. I think a lot of people were actually pretty impressed with Graham Glasgow's first performance as center, especially since that job entails a lot more than just blocking, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they're calling out formations, they're assigning certain, you know, blocking schemes, all that sort of stuff. And I think Swanson, or I'm sorry, Glasgow really held his own there. So there's reason for optimism there, but I think the matchup this week is really what worries me more.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, Ryan, I was going to say, I think Glasgow played well, except for that hands to the face penalty that he got.
By getting a hands in the face, yes.
And you know what, Jeremy, I went back and watched the game too, and I pretty much concur with everything you said. In terms of the Lions' ability to move the ball on offense. And, you know, I thought along the interior, they played pretty well. I mean, for, you know, they made do with what they could. I didn't have that high of expectations, you know, with Laken Tomlinson sliding in at that left guard spot. But you know, is it really that big of a surprise that the Lions had trouble with the Bears off the edge? Because, I mean, they have some talented guys coming off the edge. Leonard Floyd has played really well as a rookie. You know, when we were on First Bite last week, I vaguely remember between Presidentes us talking about Leonard Floyd making a case for Rookie of the Year. And then they have Pernell McPhee, too, who might be, like, one of the best pass rushers. So let's talk about Olivier Vernon. Good Chris, can you tell us where Olivier Vernon makes his pay? What does he do for the Giants defense? How does he make them that good?
He does get moved inside occasionally, but he pretty much lives on the right defensive end. He'll line up against across from your left tackle, and he will be there all game. Last week, he didn't take a single snap off. He never came off the field. The Giants' two starting defensive ends, well, JPP when he was healthy, and Vernon, the two of them played the most snaps for edge rushers in the entire league, and it wasn't even close. They were both on the field for at least 90% of the Giants' snaps. And last few weeks, OV Vernon has come on as a pass rusher, kind of what the Giants were really looking for when they signed him to that big contract that the announcers can't help but mention every week. To the point where
it's going
to
get worse, baby. We got Troy Aikman and Joe Buck here. Expect only the best in coverage for this game. I'm muting this shit. I'm doing what Andrew Cotto. Listens to the Dan Miller. And by the way, if you're a Lions fan at home, you should be listening to Dan Miller. Is he friend of the show? Can I say friend of the show?
He's friend of the site. Not quite friend of the show site. Yet.
Soon to be of the show.
Is there concern about depth then? If these two guys are getting 90% of the snaps, and obviously now you have JPP gone. I know you were talking up the rookie that I can't remember his name right now, but yes. When they're not in, is there a concern that like you're just kind of giving up on those snaps?
Yes and no. Mostly because the guys behind them, they're kind of unknowns. Odighizuwa was a third round draft pick last year, but he missed most of the year to a foot injury. Don't know what, it was always just described as weird. Whatever that means. He hasn't gotten many snaps. Their fifth defensive end is Kerry Wynn, another former undrafted free agent. He's a good run stopper. He doesn't offer much in the pass rush, but he's a high motor guy that he's the kind of player coaches like. But when you're leaning on the defense the way the Giants have, they almost can't afford to take guys like Vernon and JPP out of the game.
So one other thing real quick, Chris, I know you've mentioned how Olivier Vernon has been one of the most important players for the Giants defense. They spent, like you also mentioned, they spent a ton of money in the offseason on free agents, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Another name that some Lions fans are familiar with, especially Matthew Stafford, because he threw a 99-yard interception return to him when he was in St. Louis, is Janoris Jenkins. As he played well, would you say that his value is just on par with Vernon? Is it more important?
Jackrabbit. He prefers to be called Jackrabbit.
Okay.
He has actually corrected people on TV. Now call me Jackrabbit. He has been, probably on par with Vernon. He's making a case right now for being one of the best cornerbacks in the league. The two games against the Cowboys, he held Dez Bryant to two catches, I think 18 yards, and a forced fumble. And he had an interception. So he has been playing very well, as has the other rookie, Eli Apple, who the Giants picked after Jack Conklin and Leonard Floyd were off the board. And even Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, he has been... demoted more or less to the third corner. He comes in and plays little safety, little slot on the outside. He'll show up everywhere.
Okay, so before we get out of this matchups thing, I just want you to tell me in 10 seconds how bad Ereck Flowers is this week and how many sacks Ezekiel Ansah will have against him.
Pretty bad. None, but at least three holding calls.
Okay.
I'll take it.
I like it. I'll take it. Okay, so that kind of brings us to things we think we know, and that was kind of a great tie-in there. We think that Ereck Flowers will give three holding calls.
Well, I know there will at least be one.
At least be one.
He is good for one a game, whether he deserves it or not.
So probably the over-under at like 2.5.
Yeah, 2.5 is fair.
Okay,
2.5 is fair.
I'm not sure where they get that half one, but, you know.
No, it's the odds. It's the odds. Yeah. So it's, yeah. Well,
it's half a hold.
Okay, so, Jeremy, let's start with you. What's the thing you think you know is going to happen?
I think I know that this game is going to come down to the last possession. Both these teams are probably going to be in the low. I don't think either team's going to reach 20 points in this game. Obviously, the Lions have held seven straight opponents to under 20, or 20 or under. I think the Giants are averaging about 18 a game. And then the Lions, you know, their offense has been efficient at moving down the field, but not scoring points. And so I think we're going to see that again, that they're dragging out the clock a lot, getting a lot of yards, but maybe tacking on field goals, maybe an occasional touchdown. I see this as like a 17-16 type of game that's going to come down to the very last possession.
Ryan, what's the thing you think you know about the game? By the way, speaking of points, this over-under for this game is 41, and I think that's going under hardcore, but Ryan, go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's actually kind of a nice segue into what I think I know about the game. I actually think that the game might be over 41 points, and that is only because I think that both of these teams are going to have a couple of opportunities to work with short fields, because I think that I know that this game will have at least three turnovers. I think the Giants are prone to turnovers. I think the Lions being outdoors, the things that we don't know about Matthew Stafford's finger. I think that looking at kind of like the turnover differential for both these teams, I've done a lot of looking at that today. The only thing I know are plus and minuses. And I know that the Lions are barely in the plus column, mostly because they had that three turnover game against the Saints. They sit at plus four right now. But the Giants are actually one of the few playoff teams that have a seriously negative turnover differential. And you know what? While they do turn the ball over an awful lot, they force a lot of turnovers too. So I think that you're going to see at least three turnovers in this game.
All right, and we finally hand it over to Chris. What's the thing you think you know? Obviously, besides the Ereck Flowers thing.
Oh, man, I thought I was going to get off easy. I honestly hate doing these because I know anything about how the Giants are going to play a
good,
game.
Good.
And that's not something I should be admitting, but I am.
No, it's fine.
If you're putting my feet to the fire, which is nice on a nice cold night, I think I know that regardless of how this game turns out, these two teams have a really good chance of seeing each other again before the 2016 season's over.
I like that. I hope you're right.
I think these are two resilient teams.
This NFC playoff picture is going to give me an ulcer. It really is. Just ugh. But I think that's about it here. Chris Flum, again, find him over on Big Blue View. Anywhere else we can folks can find you if folks want to find your stuff?
Elsewhere, I'm on Twitter. It's my handle's at Raptor Mark MKII or Raptor Mark 2. That was my old username before I got promoted to staff and shamed into writing under my own name.
All right, sounds good. And for the POD boys here, Ryan Matthews at Ryan_POD, Jeremy Reisman at Detroit Online, myself, Chris Lemieux at Detroit Southern, still pending a name change there, but we'll see what I come up with. Thanks for listening to First Bite, everyone. If you haven't already, please subscribe, download the podcast off of iTunes or Stitcher, and we'll see you back here after the game for PODcast. That's what we do. What is it, Ryan?
Hey, one other thing. I'm going to run the Pride of Detroit Twitter account this week again, right, Jeremy?
Again? Nope. It's a national game. I get to watch it live.
Damn it.
Bye, everyone.